The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety Auditor Kevin Byrne. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
2024, a good year for aviation safety.
Generally speaking, yes, quite safe, because I've always been harping on aviation safety. Two serious accidents, though, fatal towards the end of the year, both in Kazakhstan and Korea, and they marred the statistics we would have had otherwise.
Now, we want to talk about Korea, because the intriguing mystery of the black boxes that stopped recording 4 minutes before the ultimate disaster. So why?
Well, now, the video has been, you know, widely seen. This accident happened on the 29th of December to the Jeju Air flight, which was landing in a place called Moria. And sadly, something happened. It looked as if one, if not two engines failed because they had a bird strike while they were on final approach to the airport. And things went wrong after that. Now, I assumed, having watched the movie and seen the Miracle on the Hudson, that cockpit voice recorders and flight data recorders always worked because they had a separate power supply from the engines. So that isn't quite true, because the Americans published a final ruling back in 2008 that all these instruments, the cockpit voice recorders, flight data recorders, should have their own supply, but it wasn't enforced until April 2010. So both Airbuses and 737s and such like, all the aircraft made in America, should have these fitted and working. The aircraft involved in the accident in Korea was a Boeing 737-800, which Ryanair purchased in 2009 and then sold on after service.
So they got it in 2009 and it was not equipped with the backup power system.
Exactly. And the reason behind it was, if they did it to all the aircraft, it would cost a fortune, because you'd have to put special equipment in and that kind of thing. And the chances of having a twin-engine failure, Pat, are something like one in a million. It just doesn't happen. And the training in the simulator given to the pilots is to deal with the emergency which happens when you lose one of the two engines.
Now, the reassurance from Ryanair passengers is that their aircraft are, by and large, very new.
Yes.
They move the aircraft very quickly and replace them with brand new stuff.
And that's always been the case from that point of view. So there's a huge demand for the Ryanair, ex-Ryanair aircraft. So they sell on to the trade, as it were, very well. So there's nothing suspicious about this aircraft in that it was perfectly serviceable coming into land, you know. But a double engine failure on final approach is a very serious matter. And things went wrong after that. And we're not going to get
to it. So the problem is they lost power.
Yes.
Because you'd imagine, you know, if you have a bird strike, that you're gliding in, so you actually should be able to land in theory. But if you can't control anything, then you're bunched.
You are a glider, basically. And it looks as if they tried to go around realising the second engine was going to fail, and did, because the investigators apparently have found both bird feathers and blood in both engines, which is itself very unusual and very disturbing from that point of view. If that happened, because this aircraft was built before 2010, it looks as if we've lost the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder information for the last part of the flight. So it's going to be quite difficult to work out what the crew actually did.
Now, there are two survivors. They were cabin crew, but they were rescued from the tail of the plane.
Yeah.
Whether they can shed any light on what happened remains
possibly not, because the aircraft turned round. If you do training in flight simulators and in real aircraft, usually the instructors say, don't bother turning back. Look forward if you can find a clear area. Look 30 degrees left and right of your path, even if you've got no engine, and try and find a clear path. That may not have been possible, depending on the organisation of the airport. So they turned round and tried to land back in the opposite direction where they were going to land initially, which means they might have had a tailwind, which means the speed is too high. The flaps were not out and the undercarriage was not selected. So it was a serious matter indeed.
So they had no power to get the undercarriage down and they had no power to control the flaps.
No, but you can actually pull a lever and the gravity will pull the wheels down. The beauty of that, if the gear locks down in 8 seconds, which it's supposed to do, you have brakes because you have hydraulic power even without the engine. So it would have been able to brake, and 90% of the retardation power of an aircraft isn't the engines as people think it is, because they make lots of noise. It's actually the brakes. So they skidded on their engines, as you saw. And the design of the airport was such that they crashed into a wall, which is extraordinary.
Instead of being able to run off, as it were, even into a ploughed field.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
They actually
there
ran.
There was no runway end safety area. If there was, it was inadequate for the runway concern.
Now, another interesting Ryanair story. It was a diversion that they had to make at the last moment, and not for any safety reason.
No, literally. What surprised me about this is this was on Sunday, January the 5th, which was 2 weeks ago yesterday. I flew on a Ryanair the next day back to Germany and didn't hear a whisper about this. It certainly wasn't published. The Ryanair flight 2501 is a scheduled one from Gran Canaria to the new airport in Berlin, the Brandenburg Airport, which is a huge, fabulous place. You know, it took years to open. And the aircraft was a little bit late. It took off 90 minutes late for a five-hour flight. So there was a bit of a doubt as to whether they'd make it in. The problem being that Berlin-Brandenburg closes at midnight for...
On the dot.
On the dot, and it then opens at 5 a.m. So there's a 5 a.m., sorry, five-hour curfew for the locals who don't have to put up with the sound like that. So the race was on, so to speak. Now, they needed to take the flight from the usual 5 hours down to 4 hours, 20 minutes, and they very nearly did it because they were on final approach to the runway, having been cleared to do so, by the way, by the air traffic control system, perfectly okay. The landing gear was out, the flaps were deployed, the pilots could see the actual lights of the runway and they were down to 1,200 feet, which is, you know, almost committed to the landing. And the clock struck midnight and the air traffic controller said, sorry, you have to go around. You know,
My goodness. And did the lights on the runway go out?
No, they didn't, in fairness to them, but it's that close. I mean, you can see the runway.
So Ryanair could, the guys could have
They
landed.
Probably could have, but it would have been a federal offence in terms of German law. So they actually pulled the wheels up and the flaps up and they flew over and they went to a place called Hanover where they have no Ryanair presence and they landed there 36 minutes later and instead of going to the hotel, they got buses, which I think is a marvellous piece of logistics, and the passengers were all put on buses and they went back to Berlin and it took 3 hours to get there. So they arrived at, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But I think for the sake of 90 seconds, it seemed to be a very strange interpretation of aviation law. You know, the aircraft committed to the landing and they closed the airport.
Disappointing news on the aviation fuel, sustainable aviation fuel,
yes.
SAF, so-called.
I'm banging on this about this for a while because, of course, it's going to be, you know, some kind of reduction. The IATA, which is the International Aviation the Trade Association, basically, for airlines, Willie Walsh, the director general, was very unhappy with it because it's very slow. IAT had expected that the production last year would be up to 1.5 million tonnes, which seems an awful lot, but in fact it was only 1 million tonnes. But yet again, even if we had that, it would only be 0.3% of total aviation fuel.
So a long way to go.
A long way to go. So if you need it by 2050, which is 25 years from now, we need between 3,000 and 6,500 renewable fuel plants, including ones we could make here in Ireland. So there's a lot to be done in that regard because you can make renewable diesel and other fuels for other industries, as well as doing it for the aviation industry, which is, you know, crying out for it now, to be honest.
And finally, Kevin, we saw the spat between Fingal County Council and the DAA,
where
planners in Fingal said that the application to increase the cap was invalid, and there seemed to be a lot of picky stuff.
I can't understand this. To be very honest about it, now the biggest supplier of, you know, rates to the Fingal County Council is Dublin Airport, and Dublin Airport is the engine for big chunks of the Irish economy, whether we like it or not, including tourism and that kind of thing. Maybe there's a need for a specialisation part of the department, one of the departments of transport who could look after its planning. This shouldn't be confined because it's in a part of a county, part of Dublin Fingal. Why would they have it, you know, the planning authorities there? It should be a national party to look after this kind of thing. It's too big, in my opinion.
Its role as part of vital infrastructure.
It's vital infrastructure, whether we like it or not, Pat.
Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel Airport Safety Auditor, thank you very much for joining us. Now, still to come on News Talk, the Israeli ambassador will, as the ceasefire in Gaza enters its second day.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.